chapter of the book of Proverbs. It's going to be our jumping off place tonight. Proverbs, and then also, if you will turn to the 9th chapter of Proverbs, we will read a verse there. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to read verse number 7 from Proverbs 1. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Over in Proverbs 9, 9th chapter, verse number 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I again want to thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. Lord, for it is absolute truth. Lord, and all it says. I'm grateful today that this preacher can stand here and preach from a Bible that's absolute truth. And Father, without any shadow of a doubt that there's any error in it, thank you so much. And tonight we want to learn something, Father, that will help us as God's children to be better for you than we've ever been before. And Lord, so I ask you do the work tonight. You use this preacher and help me, Lord, as I preach. And then you take your word and you do with it as you see fit in each and every one of our hearts that it might be accomplished that which you desire. Now we'll thank and praise you for it. In the lovely name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm going to preach a message tonight which I've entitled The Goal of the Fear of God. You know, when I was a boy, there was times when I was scared. I lived out in the country about a mile and probably mile and a quarter from Fillmore, Indiana. Sometimes we'd have basketball practice, and of course during the winter time it was dark, it got dark early, and I had to walk home usually by myself down a gravel road to our house. The gravel road run parallel with a railroad, the Pennsylvania Railroad track, and I lived just up over the railroad track in a little four-room house out there, which Mom and Dad raised or had 9 children, but one of them passed away at a very early age. And as I would walk home of a night, sometimes I began to imagine all kinds of things. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been there or not. I mean, I heard things, seen things. Sometimes I would end up doing a little track work on the way home. Sometimes I would think about it. I'd think, well, maybe it'd be better if I just walked the railroad track. So I'd get over on the railroad track and walk the railroad track, and then I'd get to thinking about those which they used to call them, it's not disrespect, but the old railroad bums. Back in my day, we lived there. I saw them on a regular basis. They came and stopped at our house for food because it sat right next to the railroad track. And then I'd get to thinking about them. And I'd get to thinking about, I wonder if any of them's maybe camping along the side of the railroad track. And fear would raise up in me. And it was always funny. If I had like one of my brothers or somebody like that with me, I wasn't scared. And I was thinking about, you know, that when I was alone is when I was fearful. There was a young boy lived on up into Fillmore along the road that I took, and my brother and I, Herschel, he was 2 years older than I, this boy was his age. He had a brother a little older than that, and sometimes we would get into a little bit of a skirmish. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there or not. But we would get into a little bit of a skirmish, and as long as my brother was with me, I was pretty brave. But once in a while, I had to ride that road alone, and it was during one of those times when we was having a skirmish, and Herschel Smith said to me, "Next time you ride up this road alone, I'm going to get you." Well, I stopped outside, I went up a gravel road, and you come halfway up, and you come onto a blacktop. In the end of the big town of Fillmore was blacktop. I remembered something that my mom told me years ago about my dad. Said his daddy died right after he was born. His daddy died, and he grew up pretty rough and had to fend for himself. And he said there was a bunch of boys out one time, and where Dad was swimming, and he said they was threatening him, so he just picked up a big rock and went about his business. He said they didn't bother him. I thought to myself, now that's a tremendous idea. So I stopped outside of town, picked up a rock. Now, my hands were not as big then as they are now, but it filled my hand real good. I mean, it was a good rock. And I rode up through there, and sure enough, there was Herschel out in the front yard. Seen me coming, started toward me, and I just held up the rock. And I said, if you come after me, I'm going to just lamb blast you with this rock. I was scared to death. I was scared to death that he was going to take that dare. But he didn't. And I felt real good about it. But I just want you to know I was scared. There's been a few times in my life we'd go out into the woods, and we made it a habit in the summertime, as often as Dad and Mom would let us, the Boy Scouts would let us use their tents from time to time. You had to sign them out, and you could take them and use them, for we were Boy Scouts anyway, and we used the tents. And we would go out into the woods, and we would camp out. I mean, a good ways into the woods. Now, again, as long as I had somebody with me, I didn't have a whole lot of fear out there. But there'd be times during the night when you'd hear these strange sounds in the middle of the woods, and you wondered what they were. Probably a mountain lion, a tiger, maybe even an elephant. But you wondered what it was out there, and their fear would kind of rise up. But I found out as long as I was with somebody, I never was as scared as before. I found out in life that as long as the Lord is with me, I don't fear. But there's been other times. I'll tell you another little story here. There was the time when I ran from my daddy. I won't go into run from my mother when she spanked me with a lath. Everybody know what a lath is? Some of you young people don't know what a lath is. Anyway, she spanked me with that lath and broke it, and I laughed at her. I thought I was pretty smart. My daddy came from Fillmore, Indiana, always walked home, didn't have a car, but he rode with somebody to his work and got off. And when I saw him walking down that road, I got scared. I had every right to. I said it before, and I mean it. I can just a little bit still feel that spanking that I got. And I never wanted another one. There was a time when, as a young boy, Archie Strong, Larry Cox, and myself, we once in a while would get together, and we never done anything real, but we'd get together. And so one night, it was just getting dark, and we decided that we was going to go down the cemetery lane of the cemetery at Fillmore, Indiana. Now, you have to understand that's probably about a quarter of a mile long back into the cemetery. If you've ever been there, if you live longer than I do, you will one of these days if you go to my funeral, because that's where I'm going to be buried, praying for the rapture. But anyway, we decided we was going to go down there. Archie's bicycle was broke down. So he was riding on the front of my bicycle. You know how you do it on the handlebars? He was riding there, and we got back there, and there was all those tombstones around, and we got to talking. You know how boys will do. And Larry had picked up a bunch of rocks somewhere along the line, and we was talking, and he said, when I throw these rocks, he said, get on your bicycle and go. Okay. So We was talking, Archie was around there, and Archie was a little bit skittish anyway. And Larry, about that time, threw the rocks, and we hollered and screamed, jumped on our bicycles, and took off and left Archie. We left him. Halfway down the way, Archie passed us up. Folks, this is God's truth. It is absolute truth. He passed us up. We got down at the end of the lane, and we was all laughing and having a big time, you know, or at least Larry and I was. And Archie said, "You gonna go back down there with me?" I said, "Why do we want to go back down there?" He said, "I lost my shoe halfway down." He had lost one shoe and had beat us both. And we did go after his shoe reluctantly. But what I'm telling you is, fear will do something to you. And it made Archie move out real fast. And I imagine if I could let you tell some stories, there's times when you've been scared. Amen? There's just things in life that come along where we just get scared. And probably in all those things I told you about, I probably didn't have any real reason to be scared. But I was scared. I was fearful. And yet it's strange that God tells us in His Word that there's a fear that we ought to have. That He even commands us to have and wants us to have. And tells us over and over in the Word of God that we should have it. And that's called the fear of the Lord. What I want to do tonight is I want to preach a message to you about the fear of the Lord and the gold that it has for our life. In Proverbs, the first chapter, the seventh verse, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." He told us over in the ninth chapter, tenth verse, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, he talks about knowledge and understanding coming from the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, if you'll understand this and you get a hold of this, it'll help you. The fear of the Lord is the foundation on which you build knowledge of God. Get a hold of that. Without the fear of the Lord, you're not going to build much knowledge of God. You see, we as people, we say we know the Lord as Savior, and thank God we know Him as Savior. But do we really know God? Do we really know God? And we need to. God wants us to know Him. And I believe with all of my heart, I understand, I know that we can never know Him in all of His completeness because He's too wonderful, too great. But He does want us to get to know Him and have the knowledge of God. And you do that by building on a foundation. First of all, it's impossible to know Him like we ought to know Him without the fear of God. You must have the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is a very personal thing. In fact, it comes from an understanding of the presence of God. I'm going to take you to some scripture, if you will, and it will help you, I believe, to understand this. But folks, we have, now the Old Testament saints did not have the Spirit of God living in them like we do, so I understand the Word of God or the Spirit of God lives in us. He is present with us all the time. I understand that. I know that. But also the fear of God comes from knowing that the presence of God is with you. Now, I want you to go with me over to the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis. And I'm going to start reading at verse 10. We'll read a fairly lengthy portion of Scripture, but try to stay with me and try to listen as we read and keep your mind alert to the Bible as we read it, okay? We're in the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, the 10th verse. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now, when God met Jacob here, what he's doing is restating some promises he had made to Abraham and to Isaac, Jacob's father and Jacob's grandfather. And he's telling him, just restating, reaffirming some things he'd already told them. This is the promise that I give your father and your grandfather. And I'm saying to you, Jacob, I'll give it to you and to your seed. And then he says, verse 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad in the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Very same promise that he'd given Abraham, if you remember that. I think 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Same promise. He's going to bless, and through Abraham was all the families of the earth going to be blessed. And we know that was because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, going to bless us. We're still praising God for him today. Amen. Son of God. We've certainly been blessed because of him. And then he says in verse number 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. In other words, he's promising. He said, now I'm going to do it. I promised it to you, and I'm going to do it, and I'll be with you, and I will not leave you. I'll get it done. And then in verse 16, and Jacob waked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now listen to what he says next. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? Well, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And he said, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, well, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Well, wasn't that what God just promised to do for him? Didn't God just promise to be with him? And he's saying here, now God, if you'll do this, he says, so that I can come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And he says, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now I want to tell you, the Bible says about Jacob, it says he was scared. He was afraid. In the presence of God, he was afraid. And what it done to Jacob was this. It began to make Jacob realize he was in God's presence. And he says, this is none other than the house of God, Bethel. This is none other than the house of God. And God, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make you my God. And you know one of the first things, and I'm not teaching on tithing tonight. I'm really not. But you know one of the first things he said, I'll give you a tenth of everything I got. You see, people that fear God have no trouble tithing. You have no trouble whatsoever if you fear God. That comes just normally along with the fact that you're God's child and you fear God. That just comes with it. We're not preaching on that tonight, but that's just something good to be there. Amen. So what I'm saying to you is simply this. He changed the name of the place to Bethel, and he was later on ordered by God to go back to that place. And I want to show you that, because it was at this place that the presence of God was so strong in his life. He saw God. He seen God. God speaking to him, telling him these wonderful things. God was here at the top of this ladder, supposedly, and speaking to Jacob. And he heard what God said. And he said, I'm afraid. There's a fear of God because of the presence of God Almighty and who He is. Now, I want to take you over to chapter 35 of this same book just real quickly and show you something. Chapter 35, verse 1 starting. It was later on, after about 20, 21 years, that God said to him, I want you to go back to Bethel. And we're not going to go and talk about all that happened in between there, but in verse 1 of chapter 35, here's what God said. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make thee an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. That's just what we read about. And then Jacob said unto his household, to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us rise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Now, do you notice as soon as Jacob began to be told by God to go back to Bethel, that's the place where God met him. That's the place where Jacob was afraid. In other words, that's what the Bible says. Now, I believe in the reverence of God, but I think sometimes we take that fear of God a little too lightly. And we begin to talk about, well, it just means reverence of God. No, I believe it means fear of God, the right kind of fear of God. And if you'll notice, when Jacob was told by God to go back to Bethel, that place where God met him at, and he felt the presence of God so strong, you'll notice immediately Jacob understood something. Jacob understood he had to get his life cleaned back up if he was going to go back to Bethel. You look in verse 2, and here's what he said. Then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, Well, put away those strange gods. We can't go back to Bethel in the presence of God with those strange gods. Notice again, he says, and among you, and be clean, and change your garments. He said, this is God, and we're going back to Bethel, and be in the very presence of God. And he says, we're going to have to put away all those strange things, all those worldly things, and we're going to have to be clean in the presence of God, and we're going to have to change our garments. We're going to have to dress like God would want us to dress. Amen. We're going to have to be holy. And Jacob understood that immediately. Jacob immediately understood what the problem was. He had gotten away from God as far as feeling the presence of God and the power of God in his life, living back there with his father-in-law, all of this. But when he came back, he said, I got to go back to Bethel. And oh, that means cleaning up my life. And we're not going to go back there and be in God's presence and in the fear of God if our life is not clean. That's what he was saying. Now, I'm simply saying to you, the fear of God will do something for you. The fear of God, true fear of God, will cause you to clean your life up. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it will. Always, you look in the book of Proverbs, you read it. Always associated with the fear of God is the turning from evil. Turning away from evil if you fear God, you see. And it filled him. It filled Jacob with a fear, not just reverence, but a fear of God Almighty. Certainly the reverence was there, but a fear of God. And of course, as I said, he changed the name of that place to Bethel. And when he was ordered back to go back to Bethel, it came into his heart, oh, we've got to get clean. We've got to clean our life up. Why? Because we're going back to that place where I so enjoyed the presence of God Almighty, but yet I was afraid of it. The presence of God. Now, I want to take you over to the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The fear of the Lord comes from the work of the Holy Spirit of God in us. And I want to read you a verse of Scripture that shows this. Listen to verse number, and I'll go ahead and read verse number 1 and 2 of chapter 11 of Isaiah. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, able to do his work in your life and my life, will absolutely cause us to fear God, the right kind of godly fear. Look at in the book of Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah. We'll just read verse number 40. Jeremiah 32, verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. Listen to what he says. But I will put my fear in their hearts. Now, if I would stop reading there, that's good. I mean, that's a precious verse of Scripture. God has promised to put in their hearts the fear of the Lord. But listen the reason he says he puts the fear of God in our hearts. In verse number 40 at the end of it says, that they shall not depart from me. The reason for the fear of God is to keep us from departing from him. You and I need, and we're not going to preach that whole message on the Holy Spirit of God and the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. We taught in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, because God told us we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're to yield our life to the Holy Spirit of God. He is to be the one who rules us. Amen? Now, if we allow him to do what he wants to do in our life, then there's a fear of God there, because he puts that in our life. Why? So we won't walk away from him. You see, what we don't understand is that without the fear of God, you and I will walk away from him. There is times when we will not be close to him. But you get the fear of God in your life and you'll turn from evil. It'll bother you when you sin. The reason a lot of people can walk in sin and do things they ought not to do and live in a way that is worldly and carnal is because the fear of God is not in their life. You mark it down. The fear of God is not there, and so it doesn't bother them to do the things the world does. But when the fear of God is real in your life, the Holy Spirit of God will change you and cause you to live right. And when you don't live right, he'll be knocking on your door and he'll be speaking to your heart, and you'll be able then to go back into your prayer closet somewhere and get right with God. We're not preaching people who get saved are perfect people. We're preaching that God wants us to be a perfect people, and God wants us to live right, and he, the Holy Spirit of God, gives us the power to do that. And they have to have a fear of God, or you won't even desire to live right for God. So the goal of the fear of God is the fact that he wants you to know him in knowledge. Folks, you won't and I won't either know God like we should. You'll sit there thinking, what's Pastor Ross talking about when he's talking about knowing God? I know him as my Savior. That's shallow. You need to just not know him as your Savior. You need to know him. And the only way you're going to know him is through the Bible, the Word of God, because it reveals him. Amen. And that's the only way you are going to, or I am ever going to know God as we should. And that's an ever-learning process that we'll never come to the end of. But we always ought to desire and want to know God better. Amen. And folks, to do that, you need the fear of God in your life. The right kind of fear. Over in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 28. Verse 28, the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Listen to what he says next. Let us have grace Did you know it takes grace of God to live in the fear of God? That's what he says. Listen to what he says. Let us have grace. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It takes the grace of God to be able to live in the fear of God. And then listen to what it does. It gives us knowledge about God. Look at the next verse. For our God is a consuming fire. Did you know he is? But you know the Bible says he's consuming fire. Did you know God wants you to know that? I want to show you something else. Over in chapter 10 of Hebrews. Chapter 10, verse number 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. Listen to this verse of Scripture. Listen to this statement. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, listen, folks, in all seriousness, in America today, and I certainly am not saying that there maybe isn't someone, I don't know, but do you see people fearing to fall into the hands of God? And yet the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Do you consider that a fearful thing? Oh, I know. I understand. Through Christ, it's a wonderful thing. We're God's child. But folks, do you understand that as a child of God, all the responsibilities we have to be what God wants us to be after we become a child of God? And do you think that it's not a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a mighty, wonderful God as a disobedient child of God, not caring how we live? Are they not there to warn us and to teach us that we are to live godly lives and be what God wants us to be? And the only way you and I can do that is to have the fear of God in our lives. Fear God enough to mind him and obey him. I've told you before, I believe this with all my heart, we as Christians in America live probably one of the most anemic Christian lives that's ever been lived in any of the history of the church. We are anemic Christians. It takes nothing to set us off. It takes nothing to keep us home from services. It takes nothing to keep us from serving God whatsoever. And yet God says we should serve God in reverence and fear. Isn't that odd? The Bible says that's the way we ought to serve him. Reverence and fear. Serving God. Well, it's a marvelous thing. And yet we as Christians today in America, we just pretty well just kind of sit back and do what we want and go from day to day and don't think nothing about what God has told us in his word that we ought to do and just go our own way. Folks, listen, there's a fear of God that we ought to have. And it'll cause you to change your life. It'll cause you to be different. Amen? It'll cause you to hate sin. It'll cause you to hate worldliness. It'll cause you to hate carnality. Because you see what it's doing to a lost world. Carnality in Christians today is absolutely just devastating. Because the world looks out and sees them living just like they are living, basically, not doing much different than they are doing, and say, why do I need what you've got? It's devastating. And you know why it's happening? Because there's really no fear of God. And they really don't fear God. It doesn't make any difference what God says. They're going to do their own thing. They're going to live the way they want to live. And yet God says you serve him with reverence and fear. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Do you understand that? It's a fearful thing. We're going to face him one of these days. I'm going to be glad to be there. I really am. But I want to tell you something. It's going to be awesome to stand before him and let him judge me. If you talk about scary, I think it's kind of scary. As his eyes look through my works and knows exactly why I preached and why I live like I live. Not what I did, but the reason why I did it. The motive behind it. But it won't just be this preacher. Amen. It'll be all of us. And there needs to be a fear of God Almighty in that. Over in Proverbs, again, second chapter of Proverbs. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seeketh her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. If you notice there in verse 5, he talks about the fear of the Lord, and then you find the knowledge of God. Without the fear of the Lord, you will not have the knowledge of God. You will not know him. I will not know him as I ought to know him without a fear of God in our life. And you know what he says? We ought to search out for wisdom as though we was looking for hidden treasure. You think about that. People spend lifetimes hunting for treasure on the bottom of the ocean. They search for it for lifetimes. And God said that's the way it is when we search for wisdom. We ought to search it out like we were searching for the treasure. People would spend years searching for treasure. We ought to search out wisdom just like that. Why? So we'll have the fear of God and the knowledge of God in our life. It ought to become more important to us than this old world. The will of God ought to be more important to you than making money. See, anything wrong with making money, Brother Russell? No, sir. I don't see a thing wrong with making money. But you know what? The will of God ought to be more important. It ought to be that which decides which direction in life you go. Amen. The will of God is more important than anything you and I have. He made you and I. He has a right to have us do whatever he wants us to do. Over in the book of Psalms, let me show you. In the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter of Psalms. Verse number 7. Says, the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Listen to what he says again. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He said, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Right after he says that, he gives some things that happen when we have the fear of God, the result of the fear of God. He said, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And in verse number 12, he says this, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? In other words, a man who fears God will desire to live right, to have the right kind of life, and he will love many days, not days to do his own will, but days to do the will of God. In verse number 13, he says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. What will happen when we fear God? It'll take care of this problem right here, and everybody has that problem. It'll take care of it. You see, that's why God put some bars and a zipper. If you keep both of those closed, it's just almost impossible to speak. And so God put some bars there, and he put a zipper there. And if you watch it, you won't say anything wrong if you just keep those bars closed and that zipper zipped. And then when you get ready to speak correctly, you unzip it, you open it up, and you speak. Now, I'm saying that on purpose because, listen to me, God says the fear of the Lord will cause you to speak right. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And when you don't speak right, the Holy Spirit says, you ever had the Holy Spirit do that to you? Well, I have. I'm not ashamed to meet that. I'm just no human being. I've had the Holy Spirit say to me, no, keep that still. Keep it, zip it up. Amen. So the fear of God will cause you to talk right. There'll be a lot of things you won't say when the fear of God is in your life. Verse number 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Once again, he's just simply saying to us, fear of God will change your life. It'll cause you to seek that which is good and turn from that which is evil. So again, what we're saying is this, the fear of God is a very, very important, I started to say thing, and I almost hate to call it a thing. But it's so important in our life, because without the fear of God, you'll never have the knowledge of God that you and I need. You'll never know Him like you need to know Him without the fear of God. And you know what I want? I want every person in this room to know God. I want them to know Him, yes, as Savior. I want you saved. But folks, there's more to it than that. Yes, thank God you're saved. Thank God you're ready for heaven. But I want you to know Him and have a personal relation with Him and know His presence in your life on a daily basis. It's what I want for you. It's what I want for me. And without the fear of God, we'll never know Him as we should. One more verse of Scripture. Turn with us over to the book of Ecclesiastes. 12th chapter. Last two verses in the book of Ecclesiastes. And listen to what God says. Verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now what he's saying is this. Here's the conclusion, God says, of the whole matter. What does God want man to do? Fear God and keep His commandments. Now, why does He want us to do that? Verse 14 says, and God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He's saying there's going to be a day that you and I is going to have to face God. Every single one of us. Now, as a Christian, we're in heaven because we received Jesus as our personal Savior. Thank God for that. But folks, we still are going to answer to God for our works. If you understand the Bible, if you know the Word of God, you're going to have to answer to God, and so am I, for our works. So God says the whole duty of man is fear God and keep His commandments. Why? Because there's coming a day we're going to have to give account. Amen? And folks, listen. The happiest place to be is the will of God. Did you know that? No, sometimes we don't. We want to walk away from God. We want to do that contrary to what God wants for our life because we just think, you know, God, you're not letting me have any fun. You're not letting me enjoy life. And we don't understand, but the very thing that is best for us is the will of God. He loves you more than anybody else in the whole world loves you. And He wants the best for you. And He's not looking at this just for this life. He's looking at it from the standpoint of eternity. What may be seen not very good in our life to us may be the very thing that God wants and will be the very thing in eternity that God will reward. I'm just saying this. The fear of God is commanded in the Bible. He wants us to fear Him. The right, proper kind of fear. And when we have that, we'll begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll come to know Him in a very wonderful, special way. So let God put the fear of God in your heart and be willing to just mind Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, again thanking you for the grace and wonderful, wonderful love of God for our lives. Father, once again, we certainly do want to know you. And Lord, we want to know more about you. We want to know, Lord, the wonderful things that would help us and strengthen us in our Christian life. And we just want a personal relationship with you, that we just know you in a very special way. So I just ask you to help us, Lord, to allow you to place within our hearts the fear of God. As you said in Jeremiah there, the 12th chapter, it's you that does it. Lord, you give it to us. You place it into our life that we might not walk away from you. So I ask your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.